Welcome to the VA Tourism Podcast, and I'm Koji Benton Williams. The VA Tourism Podcast is dedicated to Africa's travel and tourism industry, where leaders from the private and public sectors get to talk to us. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, and Google Podcasts. Today's episode is a fascinating conversation with the area senior vice president for Middle East and Africa at Radisson Hotel Group, Tim Cording. He tells me how the global hotel heavyweight managed to survive the coronavirus pandemic and also expounds on why putting people first before profit is the best way to navigate a crisis such as the coronavirus pandemic. Welcome to the Year Tourism Podcast, and I've been joined. I have a special guest, Tim Cording, who is the Area Senior Vice President of Middle East and Africa for Radisson Hotel Group. Tim, good day and good morning.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me on. A pleasure to be here.
Thank you. Can you introduce yourself to us, your journey in the hospitality industry and what your post involve?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So I head up Radisson SR Group for Middle East and Africa. We have about just over 100 hotels in operation today in that part of the world, and also a further 70 or so hotels actively under development. And I suppose my journey in hospitality started, strangely, with a degree in mechanical engineering, and realizing through that I didn't want to do mechanical engineering. And all the time I was at university, I had part-time jobs in restaurants and bars and so on, and eventually in a hotel, and I just absolutely loved it. So from there, I kind of worked in every department of hotels and grew my career to where I am today. And I still love it as much today as I did back then, 25 or so years ago.
So you suppose that you had a passion for it, even, you know, doing mechanical engineering, like you're saying, and you still had some time to think about working in the hospitality sector.
Yeah. I don't know how I got into mechanical engineering. I guess that was just from my studies at school, but it became pretty clear to me early on that a degree in mechanical engineering is essentially a degree in vector maths, and it just didn't interest me. And all the time I was really looking forward to my weekend jobs working in hospitality. So eventually when I finished my degree, I was working at a hotel, and the general manager of that hotel said to me, "Look, Tim, you can go and be an engineer or whatever you want to do, but I think you've got a future in this business and I'd like to give you a job." So I took that job. At that time, it was in sales. I'd never worked in sales at that point. And I just loved it. And, you know, a hotel, working in a hotel is a bit like being part of a big family. Everybody's pulling in the same direction. We all spend a lot of, you know, the hours are long sometimes. We spend a lot of time together. And you spend a lot of time together at strange times of the day often as well. So you have this incredible camaraderie, and it really feels like you're part of a big family. So I always enjoyed that, and I still love that part of the job today.
Okay, nice. What does your role involve currently as an area senior vice president for the group in charge of Middle East and Africa and Turkey?
Yeah. I guess I could spend a long time answering that question, but I'll try and make it as brief as I possibly can. I suppose the key priority is to look after our guests. We're nowhere without them. So making sure our guests have a fantastic experience. And that leads very quickly on to the next priority, which is looking after our teams. Without our teams, the people who work in the hotels, then we can't provide those wonderful experiences that our guests expect to have. So looking after our teams is a real core priority. They're the greatest asset we have in our hotels. And then from then, it's also looking after our stakeholders, our partners, and the people who own the hotels that we manage. They're also incredibly important. So you get those three things right: guests, teams, and owners or stakeholders. Then what you should have is a really beautiful building, a great hotel, with a super motivated and very highly skilled team. And of course, that's going to give you some really happy guests.
Okay. That leads me into my next question of how did you manage and still managing, because we are still in the transition stage of the coronavirus pandemic?
Well, I guess the pandemic is pretty clear that there's no historical precedent for the situation that it created. So from my point of view, I wanted to try and take as entrepreneurial approach as we possibly could to something that was nothing short of a catastrophe for our industry. And when I looked at it, the first question we had to answer was, do we keep trading? You know, do we keep hotels open, or is it better to close them for a short period of time or even a long period of time? And really, you know, I remember in the early days of the pandemic, around this time last year, having conversations with owners saying, look, there's no historical precedent. We don't know what's going to happen. We really don't understand what's going to be the business situation, other than it's going to be pretty bad. But one thing I can tell you for sure, if we close the hotel, the revenue line is going to be zero. You're not going to make a penny in terms of income. And you're still going to have some costs, because even if you close a hotel, you've still got to have some heating and some lighting or some cooling. You've got to maintain the building. You need some security. So it's not zero cost when you close a hotel. It's much reduced. So we said, look, the delta, the difference, if you like, between closing your hotel and keeping it open but with a very limited level of resources is pretty small. So the risk of keeping it open is small. The potential upside is entirely unknown, but it's something. So through that, we and then after that, you know, once the decision was taken to keep open, it was then a fight. You know, how do we find business? And I've never worked, and our teams say, I've never worked so hard to find new types of business. And yet we did. We did find business, and the vast majority of the hotels continue to trade, not brilliantly, of course, dramatically impacted, but trade enough to keep liquid, to keep being able to pay its bills, to keep servicing the employee salaries and that kind of thing, and to keep going, to survive.
Okay, interesting. Now, again, I mean, this, your last point was linked to your your opinion piece on putting people first and all of that. Expatiate on that a bit for me, because there's a point, and if you may allow me, I'll quote it for you, where you made the point that throughout the pandemic, during lockdowns and more open periods of trading, we have tried to keep our hotels operating to do everything in our power to retain as many team members as possible, leveraging all our creative energies to expand and tailor our offerings and boost bookings. Also included were our protocols and all of that. But there's a point that you make, which you reiterated earlier, that, you know, if you close the hotel, you were still going to incur some amount of costs. But then again, the essence of your piece was to say that those who took those long haul plan, you know, in the end, are likely to benefit than just taking those ad hoc measures. Talk us through that.
Yeah, I firmly believe that was the right approach to take. And like I said, there was that certainty that revenue would be zero, but also, particularly in some of our African locations, there was another consideration about our teams. As I already mentioned, I consider the teams in the hotel to be the most precious asset that the hotel individually has, because they're the people who know the guests, they look after the customers, they provide the experience, they also look after the hotel. So without them, we're in trouble. And in some African destinations, you know, you're looking at a situation where if those people aren't working, then what are they doing? And what kind of financial reserves do they have? And what kind of governmental support is available? And the answer to most of those questions is pretty limited. And hotels in African cities often play a much larger role in the city, the life of the city and the community it sits in, than they do in more developed markets in Europe, for example, or America. So I felt like there was an incumbent responsibility upon us to try and keep these businesses going as much as possible through this very difficult period, so that we could retain our teams, nurture that asset, those great people that we have working in our hotels, but also with a realization and a recognition that without that income, you know, probably not just one family, but several families may be in a really difficult spot. So there was I felt like there was a responsibility to keep fighting and to keep pushing and to make a success of these businesses. And we would reap the rewards. And I'm happy to say that, you know, in the fourth quarter of 2020, and so far in this first quarter of 2021, what we've seen is our hotels, our Radisson hotels, in pretty much every location, have recovered more quickly than the competition. So it's by no means back to normal, but there is more business around now than there was, you know, 9 months ago, for example. And we're getting a much greater share of that business than we had before the pandemic. And I strongly believe the reason for that is because we generally stayed open and trading. So what little business what there was around chose us because we were still going. So I think it's proven to be the right thing to do.
Interesting. Again, let's just stay on a bit of the hotel where even in the midst of the pandemic, you've had substantial opening of some of the properties.
Yes.
You signed new properties. Yeah. You've, 2 days ago, 4 days ago, you announced your Radisson Individuals. The first in Africa here in Accra, in Ghana. So, what's the trick?
There's no trick. it's just about being diligent, hardworking, and being committed to the decisions that you take. I think as an international brand, you know, when we say we believe in Africa or we believe in a particular destination in Africa. We shouldn't allow ourselves to be distracted from that by a pandemic which has affected every corner of the globe. So our commitment to the continent and our commitment to growth in Africa and supporting African economies, if anything, is strengthened over the past year or so, and our resolve to continue our expansion on the continent is strengthened. Because we still see a fantastic opportunity. Generally speaking, there are far fewer branded quality hotels in African cities than there are in many other cities around the world. And I think that provides a wonderful opportunity over the medium term. And when I say hotel opportunity, I'm not talking, you know, when you invest in a hotel and when somebody partners with you to either build a hotel or to manage a hotel, that's a relationship which is like a marriage. It's, you know, it's not something that necessarily has to have an end date. But it's certainly something you're in it for, let's say, 20 years. And over that time period, the pandemic, which has been a disaster in 2020 and continues to dramatically impact our businesses in 2021, is a negative impact for sure and should not be dismissed. But will we still be talking about it end of the 10 years? Yes, but I don't think we'll be talking about it how it's impacting our business in 10 years' time. We'll be talking about it how it affected our lives 10 years ago.
Okay. Now, on the plans of Radisson in Africa, you know, especially in this time, because you had made some commitment over how you want to consolidate, you know, your development of the hotel in the region. What are the plans? Are you still, you know, keeping to the earlier plans that you had in terms of expansion and new properties coming up in the region?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, as I said, our broad commitment to Africa hasn't changed. You know, there are decisions we've taken throughout this very difficult year, which I think demonstrate our ongoing commitment. So opening hotels in Africa in 2020, signing additional hotels in Africa in 2020, but also beyond that, you know, silly things like, or silly, they're important, but they're significant, but relatively small decisions. Like, should we continue to have a satellite office in Cape Town, which is where our satellite office is, or in Johannesburg? And yes, absolutely, we renew the lease on that. Let's continue to have our people based there. It's really important to have a presence in Africa. So those decisions have been really easy to take in 2020 because our overall strategy and our commitment to Africa remains unchanging and unwavering. And I suppose some other organizations might look at that and say, well, that would be a great opportunity to save some money. We don't need to pay a rent for a nice office anymore. But we decided that our commitment was unchanged and we would continue to do that, even though, of course, we're under great financial pressure. So the priority on Africa has never really dimmed. It still remains one of our most important geographies for existing portfolio and for future growth.
Now, if it's, I mean, if there's any one thing or things that you picked up from this pandemic as a group, what would that be?
Well, I guess if there was ever any doubt about how hard you need to fight for survival, it's been clarified in 2020. And the commitment, and I suppose I'm most proud of the commitment that my team has shown and our organization has shown in terms of trying to fight and win every single piece of business we possibly can in a very creative way, business that we would never normally have been interacting with and probably in some cases have generated because of the pandemic, actually. But the way that we've reacted to that, I think, has taught us all a lesson about how humble we need to be, but how creative and entrepreneurial we need to be able to keep fighting. So that's one thing. Over and above that, I suppose the pandemic has also, in a strange way, brought us all a little bit closer together. And of course, that sounds very contradictory because we haven't been able to travel. And normally in 2019, for example, I took well over 120 flights, many of them to Africa, of course, to see the hotels and teams and our owners. But in 2020, I took, I think, 20 flights. So the proximity to our business in terms of physical proximity has never been further away. But our communication with our businesses and the spirit of togetherness that a crisis causes has caused us somehow to grow closer together. And that's something that I take positively away from this situation.
Excellent. Now, in your view, what do you think, you know, will be the sector's biggest challenge, you know, post-COVID, restarting tourism?
Well, we're not there yet. I mean, we're still in the middle of the pandemic, so we're still dealing with very serious situations in business recovery. But what is clear to me, and I think clear to everybody really, is that vaccinations and a strong vaccination program leads to business recovery. Because of course, the restrictions on movement and restrictions on gatherings of people can be relaxed with some level of confidence. It's not going to have a human impact. And in countries where we operate hotels, where there is a robust vaccination program, we've seen a much stronger recovery. So that for me is the biggest indicator of how we can unlock travel, unlock hospitality and get back to some kind of new normal. Having said that, I think African businesses and African hospitality has been far more robust than other parts of the world. When I look at the performance we've seen in Africa, whilst it's been very, very difficult time, it's not been as negative as we've seen in our European markets, just to give an example. So that tells us that the need for travel and the need for the use of hotels in Africa is certainly greater, and that travelers are more confident about using our businesses during this time.
Okay. In wrapping up our conversation, I mean, I'm just going to ask you that personally, what has been the impact on you with this, you know, pandemic?
Well, I think it's been one of the greatest challenges of my professional career, but also, of course, it's been a very personal challenge. I think that's probably true of most people in my sector, in hospitality and travel. You know, you go from, let's say, a normal business environment, and incredibly quickly, we were talking about how do we look after our teams? You know, how do we ensure their safety of the guests because of this pandemic that's spreading like wildfire all over the world? And then very quickly after that, or immediately almost, okay, well how do we stay liquid? And how do we stop the illiquidity of our businesses from becoming an insolvency issue? So there was this business rescue. So and that all happened in the space of 6 or 7 weeks. So that was an incredibly tough period, but it taught us something about it too. And from a personal point of view, of course, you know, like everybody else, we've been locked down and isolated and haven't seen family and friends and all those really important personal connections. And I think that takes a toll as well. So, you know, we did a general manager conference, a team conference at the end of last year, of course, virtually, using our own Radisson Hotel Group hybrid meeting solution where we partnered with Zoom to create it. And it was a great experience because mental health, I think, is something that is incredibly important to recognize the impact that, that this pandemic has had on everybody. And we use that conference as a way to do so.
Okay, excellent. Now, finally, I mean, what do you do if you're not running around, you know, in the hotel and going for all the conferences? What do you do, I mean, during your leisure time? And if you may tell us about, you know, your family and you know, flexi things that you do, if you're not running all these conferences, hotels. Now these days, they call people are zoomed out and meetings out and meetings in.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think that's a good question. I have a young family, so the kids keep me really busy. And anyone with young kids or with a family will relate to that. I'm sure that, you know, your free time tends to revolve around what the children are doing. So that's how I spend most of my time. And of course, that's really rewarding and special. I'm very lucky, fortunate that I have the ability to do that. And that's one of the good things that not being able to travel has allowed me to spend more time with the family. But my own personal satisfaction, I also, I really enjoy reading. So I read a lot, 4 or 5 books a month usually. And I enjoy cycling. So getting out on the bike manages to clear my head and kind of reset for the day. So they're the three things I do: reading, family, and cycling.
If I'm to put you on the spot, which country are you going to travel to when all is safe to travel? Where would that be?
Oh, that's a really tough one, you know. I don't know. I think, you know, I really miss Kenya, actually. I'd love to travel to Kenya. I guess if you really put a gun to my head, it's either going to be, yeah, probably Kenya. I really enjoy East Africa, so that would be a good trip.
Tim Godin, thank you so much for your time for this fascinating conversation.
You're welcome. It's been a pleasure.